Hey, have you heard? Podcast One has a whole bunch of awesome new shows filled with big names that are waiting for you on our brand new amazing app.
This one's a game changer.
There's Norman Lear talking to Amy Poehler, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and Charles Barkley. Geffen Playhouse Unscripted with Bryan Cranston, Josh Gad, and soon, Neil Patrick Harris.
Nice.
OC Real Housewife Heather Dubrow's World. Lady Gang's Three Mimosa Podcast with Leah Michelle, Nelly Furtado, Elle King, and more.
Plus, every episode of The Adam Carolla Show, Dan Patrick, and Rich Eisen.
And if you like what happens in the ring, we've got Steve Austin, Chris Jericho, Chael Sonnen, and a whole bunch more.
So download our one-of-a-kind new app and see for yourself.
Go to the App Store, Google Play, or download it now at podcastone.com.
Recorded live at Carolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. The choice began on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thank you for what you do, right, Drewski?
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about. All right. So, Drew, what's on your mind?
Did you see that story on the front page of the LA Times about the SC dean of the medical school?
No, oh, yeah. I never.
Gary liked it. Okay.
I don't look at any LA Times anything.
Smart.
This was just bouncing around quite a bit on the internet because the trifecta.
People text me. Sorry, people tweet me
stories,
and I read them from all sides of the aisle. But the LA Times has just gone kind of rogue, in my department, and I don't really I'm not into their sort of weird analysis of life.
Like, that's actually what I wanted to talk about. So, Gary, tell the story as you understand it.
They made a proclamation that they will publish no stories or data that refutes climate change.
Right.
And I'm not one of these people. They misconstrued me and what I say. I'm the number one guy who wants to save energy. I do it my whole life.
Yeah.
I do it everywhere I go.
Yeah.
I'm trying to build a house that way. I'm doing everything I can. But I'm also a guy that says, hey, if nuclear is better than solar, then that's what we're going with.
Yeah.
Because I want to save energy.
You're pragmatic. Yeah.
Right. So I'm a guy who says I'd like to stop carbon emissions. But if someone has a study that has some information that may fly in the face of some of the other studies, then you should publish that.
Of course.
And we should have access to it. You've just made the proclamation that we're just going this direction, and that's what you're going to get. So now, when you read the Times, what are you getting?
Well, let me riddle me this. So throughout geological history, across the billions and billions of years of Earth history, the Earth has had cooling and heating trends. It always does. It gets cooler. It gets hotter. Now we are clearly in a heating trend. The only thing that is at issue is to what extent are we contributing to that?
Yes.
And are we somehow accelerating it, accelerate the rate at which it's happening, and maybe spinning it out of control in some weird way? The probability of humans spinning it to some dangerous spot, very unlikely, very, very unlikely. But probability of us contributing, pretty high, pretty reasonable. My question is, given the incredible effort it would take, and an almost impossible effort to eliminate our contribution against something that's going to happen anyway. There's the heating trend. It's going to happen anyway. Why are we not spending our money preparing for that and figure out how to optimize that? I mean, maybe we could restore the rainforest. And if you look at geological history, when the globe has been warmer, it's been better for life. Biodiversity has gone up.
Yep.
More plant life.
Yes.
When has sun energy been bad other than melanoma and skin cancer? It's a good thing. So I don't understand. And I'm saying this strictly as a polemic, as an argument. Why don't we just prepare for it and really optimize what's about to happen?
Because
– I mean, am I wrong in saying that? Riddle me that.
No.
Am I way off base?
No.
It's crazy saying something like that.
The people who have the – control of the newspaper, control of the airwaves, would rather correct you than correct the problem.
Or deal with the problem. How about just manage it as it occurs?
I believe that most of their energy is critiquing people versus dealing with the problem. I've always believed, here's what I believe. Are you ready, Drew?
All right. Here we go.
It all stems from the academic world. The academic world is the structure of the academic world is saying, I have done some deep thinking on this. I've done some studies on this. And now let me tell you what I know and why you're probably wrong.
Okay.
All of this comes from that world.
All right.
It never comes from the sort of blue collar or hands on world. You know what I mean? It is a world that is here to correct.
Yeah.
I don't even mean ivory towers. I'm not saying you're wrong because I don't correct. I come from the blue collar world. But what I'm saying is nobody I know, and I run it right down the middle between the college world and the blue collar world. The blue collar folks do not have this inkling to correct.
Right.
They have an inkling to say to somebody, here's how you do TIG welding, or here's how you mortise out for hinges. They have
practical wisdom.
They have an inkling to teach, not to correct.
Yeah.
So you have this larger and larger swath of people that are coming from correction, that come from a world that sits and corrects. And they like to tell you things that you physically know don't exist. Like, hey, there really is no difference in genders. It's simply societal roles that are grafted on to the infant and stuff. And you go, what? So how bad is your need to correct that you're now going into outer space with your assertions? You're now doing these things, and it's a constant and a lot of hiding behind words and phrases, lots of buzzwords and things getting hot. The aforementioned school-to-prison pipeline, smoking hot in 2011, doesn't seem to exist in 2017.
Yes. Nomenclature that gets reinvented.
No one heard of systemic racism before 18 months ago. I've never heard. I've been here my whole life. I've never heard systemic. I've heard racism. Heard systemic as it pertains to, I don't know, forms of cancer or something, but I never heard systemic racism. Now systemic racism's a big deal, except for this time next week, we're not going to hear it. It'll be with the 8-track players, with the video disc players, with the school-to-prison pipeline. It'll just be in that hopper of stuff we no longer need anymore.
Dumper.
Right.
Dumpster.
Yeah. Once you learn it, it's no good for us. We have to move on.
We have to
lay something.
Own.
We have to create our own.
Our own number.
We have to create and we have to correct.
Yeah.
Correct and create. That's what we do. Mm. We are educated. You are not. And by the way, if you don't believe me, how come every single one of these arguments when it comes to people we disagree with turns into nail, knuckle dragging, Neanderthal, you know, ill-informed, flat earthers? You know, it's all an attack on your intelligence. Mm. It's all attack on your education. It's all this, it's ill-informed, misinformed. People don't, you know, they even do it with religion. You know what I mean? God forbid you tell them you're a devout Christian. It's like, oh, okay, great. Yeah. So you pray to this thing and hope your kid doesn't get the measles. Like, so it's all about degrading the person's intelligence. And then I went to Yale. So come on. Who are you going to listen to?
Pedigree,
you're dumb. I'm smart. Now here's what's happening with the environment, or here's what's happening with the school to prison pipeline, or here's what's happening with systemic racism, or here's what it is. And that's it. That's the new plan. So I don't know how much of it is about a love of our children, the future, the environment, versus the love of making you dumb, which then makes them smart.
I think that's one slice of it. It's even more global, the correcting thing.
Yeah.
It's not just making people dumb. It's also making me superior.
Yeah, superior. Yeah. It's all roads lead to narcissism.
But you need an enemy. You know, you have to find the windmill to fight with.
Right. So for me,
and if there's nothing there, you got to create one.
I'm the guy who has. If you look behind you, Drew, you'll see a thermostat.
Yeah.
If you look 2 inches to the right of the thermostat, describe what you see.
What looks like a light switch with a little light on it.
A switch with a red light on
it.
Right. Why is that there?
I think that's sort of the brake switch for the air conditioning.
Right.
You have to, you know.
Why did I install that?
Because it's hard to tell from the little, you know, the thermostat whether the thing is on or off. It's very obvious with the switch.
Right. To prevent what?
People leaving it on overnight or anything like that?
Over the weekend.
Over the weekend, yeah.
Right. Why?
Because it's wasteful.
Right. Okay. So that's me. I don't imagine Leonardo DiCaprio has one of those in his house. He flies privately a lot. So which is it? And what is it? And why does Al Gore need 7,000 square feet? You know, he's an empty nester. Probably get by with 2,800 square feet. But okay. So what is it? And by the way, if you look at the predictions that he made in An Inconvenient Truth, none of that shit happened.
Yeah.
He was making dire predictions 15 years ago
imminent
or whatever
dire,
it is.
Yeah.
Imminent and dire, and nothing happened. Yeah. So, shall we listen to what Al Gore says? Yes. Shall we then go running the direction? Shall we act on it as fast as we can? I don't know. He made a lot of predictions. He won Academy Award. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
So, what am I? Well, I'm just a guy who hears what Al Gore says and then goes out and takes a dip in the swimming pool, comes back in the house. So, since none of it happened, how badly do you want me to believe in this? And then who else should we listen to who, when they make a lot of proclamations, none of it happened? Are we supposed to follow? What other dignitaries or leaders make proclamations that don't come true, and we're supposed to follow we're supposed to hang on every word of the new set of proclamations? I'd rather just have everyone get LED bulbs and whole house fans and do whatever it takes to save electricity.
Yeah.
And if nuclear makes more sense than coal or windmills, then that's what we should do. That's who I am. Now, why I have to be lumped in with somebody who wants to drive around an SUV? My wife drives an electric car. I want to drive an electric car. I went and looked at electric cars, but the range on the cars I was looking at wouldn't get me to work and back without me plugging in.
By
so
the way,
I am waiting.
Most of your electricity is generated from coal.
Right.
So in terms of carbon
batteries, the carbon, of course. All right. What is the article, Gary, or the USC one?
Oh, yeah. It's the summary is that this the dean of the medical school
had given me an award and had been, you know, a very gracious man in my life. And he's also a very capable ophthalmologist. And he brought in $1 billion for the SC Medical School.
We're speaking about Dr. Carmen Polifito. Is that?
Yeah.
He was the dean of the USC Medical School, a post that was garnering him $1.1 million a year in salary. Had to step down after he was in the presence of a 21-year-old who overdosed in a hotel room with him, and then it came out that he has a long history of using methamphetamine and partying with very young people. There's apparently a video of him smoking meth while a girl sitting next to him who's about 21 is smoking heroin.
Well, his prostitute girlfriend.
Can't judge, but listen, go ahead.
Who also overdosed.
Allegedly.
Who overdosed and went to the hospital.
Correct.
And had a redacted police report that was a little vague. And
mm-hmm. So what's your take on this?
Well, my thing is, look, the guy is obviously in big trouble, right? The guy is very ill.
Mm-hmm.
He is way deep in addiction. If somebody were telling me the story as it is portrayed in the LA Times, I would say, oh, man, this is sex addiction, that when he drifted into stimulant addiction too. Which happens all the time. He has this girlfriend prostitute he's hanging out with all the time, and she's doing drugs and she's overdosing. He's sort of keeping her, and off it goes into other drugs. He somehow is on camera and film and stuff doing this. It's crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. And I would go, oh my God, I hope this guy gets treatment. You know, people are like, he was seeing patients. Yeah, all drug addict doctors see patients way into their disease, way in.
No, drug addict, everything does. They do everything.
Particularly the
they fly airplanes,
right? Particularly professionals. If it's affecting their professional performance, that is way down the line. That's
right.
Literally like when they're encephalopathic and don't know where they are. They still manage to perform well in these overlearned behaviors, like the professional conduct. But so him seeing patients, nothing unusual about that. him being able to do all this in the face of being an administrator. Again, he was not around other doctors. He was not an administrator. So they wouldn't know how to assess this guy's addiction. Now he's an addict. He needs to get treatment. We hope he gets well. He's really sick. These two things about the LA Times. These mother effers are the same guys that go,
Drew.
We have to do something about the stigma of mental illness and addiction. We have to do something about stigma. They are stigmatizing the shit out of this guy. They're stigmatizing him up and down, judging him, calling him, really stigmatizing the hell out of him. Listen, people with mental illness and addiction do horrible things. That's what you do when you have these diseases. Don't fucking stigmatize them then.
That's
the time to be not inducing stigma. On top of that, there's a high probability this guy's going to kill himself. There's a reasonable probability. That would say high, a reasonable probability.
Mm-hmm.
If they are contributing to that by shaming and humiliating him, they should be held accountable. They should be called. They should be
How's that going to work?
I don't care. With somebody, they have to be held accountable for what they print people.
They're making a big deal about his salary?
Everything. Big deal about everything. He makes $1 million, $1.1 million salary. He's had to abandon his $1.1 million salary.
Right. Yeah.
Everything. He's a horrible person. Everything is humiliating and shaming. This deserves to be in the paper. I understand it's news. Put it in the California section or something. Or put it a couple pages back. It was the front lead story for 2 days. Huge article. Front page. Can you humiliate somebody more than that? And if he dies, I want them held accountable. I want to be on the record for this. Anybody's an attorney out there, let's take it on.
Well, not if he's hit by a trolley car, but if
he commits suicide. So my position is, hey, this is a drug addict, sex addict in real big trouble. I hope he gets well. He could get well. I mean, it's certainly a treatable thing. But not if he commits suicide because these assholes.
Yeah,
and by the way, stigmatizing them. The same people that say we have to do something about stigma and mental illness. How dare you even say that, assholes?
Thank you, Drew. Obviously, if you're homeless, they'd never. You know, these people are drug addicts. They can't be held responsible for shitting on a sidewalk.
Don't stigmatize them.
They don't want to stigmatize criminals. Gary, you got to find that. That famous Garcetti clip that I brought in or told you to find a year ago or something when he was talking about the prisoners that were released and
am I wrong
how
about
we need
this?
To embrace them and how this could have been us.
Am I wrong about this, though, what I'm saying?
I haven't read the articles. I would say that we do have a real two-way street with drug and alcohol abuse, substance abuse, which is we decided it was a disease a long time ago. And then once somebody is in their disease, we've decided they had free will and it wasn't a disease.
Right.
And now we can critique them the same way we could critique Bernie Madoff.
Yes.
We go, this is a bad guy. He was doing bad things.
Different thing. Different deal.
We don't draw a distinction between this guy and Bernie Madoff or anybody.
One's brain is working, the other's not working. Brain is off. Brain is dysfunctional.
Right. Versus
offline.
Right. So
when he's treated, will look back on this and go, oh my God, what was I thinking?
We are disingenuous in that we go, it's a disease. He's in the throes of a disease. If it was the throes of tuberculosis or diabetes, you wouldn't say, and now when he's in the throes of his disease, we then take his actions, we carve them out, and we hold them next to other people.
Right, we want him to have free will.
So like unscrupulous lawyers who handle slip and fall cases, and we go, well, look at him. Well, he's no different than him.
Yeah.
Right. All right. We'll tell you about Garcetti, Romero, and their prisoner release, which has worked out very nicely. But first, I'll tell you about LifeLock, new scam, smishing. That's right. Fraudulent texts that appear to be from your bank or your credit card company. Always call and verify alerts before you click on the links. Everyone is looking for Drew.
Yeah.
How many times have I told you criminals are lazy? Everyone says criminals
they're
are bad.
For the easy way.
They're not bad. Well, they're bad, but they're mostly lazy. They just don't want to work.
Well, they don't want to get caught.
And they don't want to leave the house.
Yeah, right.
You think they want to crawl through your broken window and get bit by your dog?
Right.
No, they'll do this from home. Someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds in ways you may not be able to detect if you're only monitoring credit. Thieves could sell your information on the dark web and get an online payday loan in your name. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats If there's a problem, their U.S.-based identity restoration specialist will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all business, but LifeLock is the best. Get LifeLock. Do like me. Get LifeLock. Drew.
Act now. Get the added protection Norton Security free for the first year when you bundle Norton and LifeLock memberships. Plus, for a limited time, you'll also get 15% discount off the first year of your LifeLock membership. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com and use the promo code Adam15. That is Adam15, and you will save 15% today.
Here is our mayor.
Terms apply.
Garcetti, Eric Garcetti, not judging criminals.
Cannot judge.
Cannot.
When we invest in people, we don't know where things will turn out. But when people have paid their debt to society, our debt of gratitude should be not just thanking them for serving that time, but allowing them a pathway back in. Yeah. They will also have access to services from life skills training.
I don't know if you knew that, but
the
guy
therapy.
Who attempted to rape your daughter in the alley, he served his time.
I should thank him.
Well, it's a
thank
debt
him,
of gratitude.
Thank him. No, thank him for saving his time.
And we should have gratitude.
Yeah, he said thank him for serving his time, like
and
he was in the military.
Thank him
and
have gratitude.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like next time your Thanksgiving,
yeah.
And people start that thing where they go, what are you thankful for? Some people might talk about their family or their community. I want you to thank parolees and just what they've done.
Especially like violent offenders who've served their time.
Even if it's property crime.
Yeah.
I still think they're owed a debt of gratitude. I'll play one more time. I know Drew's stuck on thank. I'm stuck on gratitude, which I don't know for me.
Same thing.
I know, but it's weird because when you go to the corner market and you buy a beer and a guy goes, thank you, you walk away. But you don't have a debt of gratitude to that guy. Like, it's so much deeper. You know what I mean? Like, we owe these heroes gratitude.
Well, he's using the same language as you would use in talking about military service.
Of course. Yeah. All right, one more time, Gary. I won't step on.
When we invest in people, we don't know where things will turn out. But when people have paid their debt to society, our debt of gratitude should be not just thanking them for serving that time, but allowing them a pathway back in. They will also have access to services from life skills training to cognitive behavior therapy. You can't just give folks a job. You have to give services with the job. This is a transformative opportunity that we're offering Angelenos to be able to redefine themselves through hard work and integrity. The investment by Caltrans is almost $9 million.
Somebody writes this crap for him.
But it's so much more than just that number. It's part of a larger movement that we are all leading here to lift people up in Los Angeles, restore their dignity, transform communities.
Mm. Restore their dignity.
He just read something.
What's that guy in jail for? Yeah, he was peeing on a minor and filming it. Okay, should we restore his dignity? Listen, retard, Garcetti. I was reading this thing, and they're talking more about the homeless. The homeless. Guess what the fastest population of homeless, the fastest growing population of homeless is? And then I'm going to bring it back to me being right one more time.
What? Tell me.
18 to 24-year-olds.
Mm.
Could we ask the families to stay intact and get their shit together so that their 18-year-old doesn't end up on the street? Families from here, families from there, families from everywhere. There is no way Sonny or Natalia could end up on the street at 18 with the mother they have and the father they have. The same way there's no way your children could end up on the street with the mother they have, the father, nanny. I got to work the nanny, and she really does a lot of the heavy lifting. But the point is,
our family or both families?
Both families.
Okay.
There's no way our kids could end up on the street because the parents have decided to stay together and invest in their children. Well, what if they had a horrible mental? Then we would get them help. If they're schizophrenic, we would get them medication. We get them therapy. We get them help. What if they didn't have access? By the way, when you stay together and you're an intact family, you magically do have access to things that you wouldn't think you'd have access to. There is a problem. And then there's a cause of the problem, but that's never discussed. We simply discuss the problem. The parents, the family, falling apart is why the fastest growing segment of homeless people is 18 to 34. But Garcetti, I thought it was about factories closing down and the middle class shrinking.
No, these kids don't have an opportunity to find a place to live. Housing is too expensive for them.
Oh, cost of living.
Yeah.
So says the expert. Yeah. The expert retards on home.
Hey, True Car, buddy, can help you buy used as well as new. Over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles, over 13,000 True Car certified dealers throughout the land. So whether you're looking to buy new or used, you get that upfront pricing information. You see what others pay for the car you want. You learn about that car. You get the fair price. Then you contact a local True Car certified dealer. And what you've locked in is a price for an actual vehicle on the dealer's lot. So there's confidence when you walk in. You know exactly what you're getting. You know exactly what you're going to buy. That car is sitting there. And you can get discounts off the list price. You can't get anywhere else except through True Car. Overall, you get a quick, easy, better buying experience.
We owe them gratitude.
We do owe True Car gratitude.
Not ex-cons.
Yeah, True Car gratitude for giving us this service. 700,000 pre-owned vehicles, so don't forget, you can get new or used when you're ready to buy. All you got to do is visit True Car. Some features not available in all states.
All right, we got a podcasting masterclass coming up Irvine, August 5th. Come on out and say hi. The gang's all going to be there. Go to Corolla Drinks and find out the shows that are coming up this Saturday. South Bay, Customs, and El Segundo. Lots of music, lots of Mangria and Endless Rant. Lots of good stuff. Go to Chassis, Chassy, and find out all the movies we have to offer. Drew.
Go to DrDrew.com. Check out all the family of podcasts there. We need your help, please. All the Adam and Dr. Drew fans, you will enjoy these podcasts, I promise.
And NoSafeSpaces.com. Still working on that. So until next time, Adam Crow for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
Daredevil Events and Corolla Drinks present Rock at the Shop featuring Loxy.
Oh, man, I hear you begging, please. Ain't my decision to be kind.
July 29th at South Bay Customs in El Segundo, California.
Yes, but I can't help you go follow your woman through the weather, yeah.
Loxy. Plus, the smoking kills.
Just another Southern California.
Rock at the Shop, July 29th.
Now the pretty girls start to look the same.
Corolla Drinks presents Rock at the Shop with Loxy and the Smokin' Kills. Hosted by comedian Matt Edgar. July 29th at South Bay Customs, 115 Penn Street, El Segundo, California. Get your tickets now at CorollaDrinks.com.